Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
The latest edition of the PNED Job Market Trends Report is here with data-rich insights into South African online labour market trends. The monthly report reviews local hiring activity as well as regional job trends and the jobs and the sectors that have been the most in demand over the previous month. And it offers a real snapshot of some of the demographic data to help guide recruiters in recruiting and to give job seekers a view on what's hot and what's not and what's happening in the local job market. As always, joining us is Paul Byrne, Head of Data Insights and Customer Success at PNET. Paul, great to have you back on. It's been a while since we last spoke. I think it was before the Government of National Unity, and we know the quarterly labour force survey was dismal recently, but at least your July PNET jobs report shows that local hiring activity remains stable from May to June this year, though it's still decreased by 9% year on year. So firstly, what do you think are the key drivers behind the overall decline, and what does it suggest about the current state of the South African job market that at least we were stable from May to June?
Michael, first of all, great to be with you. It has been a while, so fantastic to be on air again. And talking to sort of the year-on-year figures, I think you mentioned the GNU. We must not forget that every single election cycle that we go through, we see a decline in hiring activity. And this year has been no different to that. I think where one difference has come in is that what we've seen in the decline in the year-on-year hiring activity has been made worse off the back of negative trading conditions that we were faced with at the end of last year and certainly carried through into the beginning parts of this year. And specifically, I'm talking about things like high interest, low consumer spending, supply chain congestion, and then the evil of load shedding, which hopefully is a thing of the past now. And there's no doubt about it, Michael, each one of those aspects has an impact on business confidence. And as soon as we have that impact and the slowing in that confidence, we're going to see a slowing in the hiring activity. And that's exactly what our numbers have been showing in terms of the year-on-year growth. So again, 9% down. But you make a very good point in terms of the stability of where we found ourselves as early as June. And our June numbers were showing that we had that 1% increase in hiring between May and June. And I think that is an extremely positive early marker of what should be happening for the balance of this year, which I'm expecting is going to be an increase in hiring activity again. In actual fact, we haven't reported it yet. We're still busy looking at the next month's data, but the sort of the initial information is suggesting some more positivity. But we can confirm that once we get that particular report out. But I'm buoyed by that.
Well, that certainly encourages me, because anecdotally, I'm getting the sense from the CEOs that I interview who are looking to tool up, who are looking to expand employment a little bit more than they have in the past, in anticipation of an economy that's starting to show those tentative early signs of a more sustainable upward growth trajectory, interest rates coming down, a very positive GNU environment, as you say, load shedding now, 150 days load shedding free. Who would have thought we'd be saying that just 12 months ago? So hopefully all of those factors do start building more confidence. Looking at the report, it does highlight an increase in hiring activity in sectors like finance. I think that's not unsurprising. What really surprised me was manufacturing and assembly and architecture and engineering. What do you think is driving the demand in those specific sectors?
I think that there is that return to making sure, again, that we can get down to the business of doing business. And in these cases, it is about what the extensions are and what it is that we need to be considering now that hopefully things are going to come right a little bit better in terms of logistics, manufacturing and assembly, getting goods out to market. And specifically, when we're looking at architecture and engineering, that's the early signs of obviously building and construction. And what I'm buoyed by is the fact that even though we had a low first quarter, but again, back off the what we've been discussing about sort of pre-election jitters. We have seen that in the second quarter of this year, architecture and engineering has grown by 9% year on year. So that's over the second quarter, which is really good. Manufacturing and assembly, to look at that particular job sector, again, a better second quarter than first quarter, and 6% up year on year when we're comparing the second quarters of this year to last year.
And I think it would be remiss not to point out the encouraging signs that we're seeing when it comes to the increased participation of women in traditionally male-dominated roles, this August being Women's Month. From a business perspective, what more can be done to foster diversity and inclusion in the workplace, particularly in sectors where gender disparities remain sticky?
Very much. That's a good question. It's such an important question. And I think, number one, it actually starts with the leaders of business saying that they want to address the gender bias. And I think there are so many compelling reasons these days to make sure that they do it. And it goes besides just the normal of sort of moral and societal responsibility of making sure that we've got this gender equal workforce. Because what we are seeing coming into a lot of our media is more and more writing about just how important it is to have a diverse workforce. And if we bring that back to women within our workplace, the diverse perspectives that they can bring in leads to better performance. They lead to things like improved innovation, greater customer insights and customer satisfaction. So I think companies that are not actually putting sort of women as a very specific item on their agenda in terms of hiring for women are going to be missing a trick. Mm. I think very importantly, we've got to remember that it gives access to a bigger field of talent. And the one thing that the world is complaining about at the moment is a dwindling pool of the right skills. So why not bring more women into the workplace? Make sure that we're training them, encouraging them, and making sure that they have got the confidence to continue applying for these traditionally male-dominated roles. And we can go through some of those stats very quickly as well. But the important thing is here, by bringing women in, these companies got a broader choice. You know, effectively, let's call it doubling the access to talent. Yeah. And I think even as we go down sort of part of the conversations that you and I have had before about the future world of work, the fact that you're bringing women into workplace is going to really help attract these bright future minds, sort of young talent coming into the workplace, because I think that those companies that are taking this seriously now will definitely build a reputation of equality and fairness and even corporate social responsibility. And those are big drivers of what young talent are looking for today in terms of saying, whom are the right companies to work for? They want to know that these companies are doing the right things right.
But you said...
Addressing gender bias, flexible work policies, when you talk about what brings women into the market, that's going to be a big item on the agenda. And then very specifically, mentorship and career development. Yeah, we've got to be, companies have to be focused on that.
Just on that point, I was chatting to RMB recently about their Athena program. And yeah, in the still very male-dominant world of corporate investment banking, they've been very deliberate about creating pathways, not only to attract the right talent, but once they've got that female talent inside the organization, to make it easy to allow them to go out and have families, be moms, but then come back into the workplace and ease their pathway back into the workplace. Because that's often when you see mid-level career professionals falling off the career ladder, is they find it very difficult after taking that time out to go and have a family to come back into the workplace. So again, to your point, you know, leaders have to be very intentional about this, don't they?
They really must be. And I think what's really positive coming out of the data that we've got coincidentally in this particular report that we're talking to is when you look at that financial services industry's jobs like equities, bonds and derivatives management, as well as commodities and financial services agents, have seen an uptick and a significant uptick in the numbers and volumes of female applicants applying for these jobs. And if we just look at equities, bonds and derivatives management, 3 years ago, just 47% of applications were from women. Today, being 2024, that has risen to 62%.
Wow.
Commodities and financial service agents, 41% 3 years ago, 55% today. So we can see this shift. Women are becoming a lot more confident in applying for these previously male-dominated roles, and it's reflecting in our numbers. And I think that really is important because it starts to suggest that this shift is happening. We we're a long way away from gender equality, but at least it's a move in the right direction. And I think, again, it goes just back to that growing confidence of women in the workplaces. No, they can do this. They need to be accepted. Companies are starting to hire for women. And these, again, were good indicators.
Mm, fantastic indicators. I've got two still very young daughters, aged 10 and 7. And they display great aptitudes for things like coding and robotics, which are now offered at early school level. So you often look at the IT field, and I interview IT professionals all the time, Paul, and to find female senior executives in the IT space is still very rare in the South African context. What are you seeing in the data? I know there is a regional variation in job demand where we see provinces like the Western Cape experiencing a decrease in IT vacancies. What are you seeing through that data when it comes to the demographic makeup?
Well, first of all, the decrease, it's significant in the Western Cape, but we must not forget that the entire industry has seen a massive drop off in terms of demand over the last 2 years, really. And even year on year, we're looking at a 21% national sort of drop off in terms of demand. And here, talking about the Western Cape, we're seeing a 42% decrease. However, I have to put in there that that is still off the sector that's hugely in demand. So in other words, as much as there's been this decrease, there are still skills that are very much in demand. And actually, positively, over the last month, we've actually seen that there's been a 4% increase in the demand for IT professionals again. But specifically getting back into women technical and product specialists, more, I suppose, in the telecommunications industry, we've seen that there's a long way to go in terms of gender parity, but it's another fine example of where we're seeing more applications coming into this that sector. 32% 3 years ago, 51% today in 2024. Some good trends happening in that space too.
Looking beyond the demographic trends, what are the shifts or trends that you're observing in the job markets in your data?
Overall, if you're talking very broadly, we're seeing definitely that move towards the future world of work. One of the other reports that we recently published suggested that we've got about a 94% uptake in sort of the AI skills that companies are looking for in South Africa. So very important to actually see and monitor those trends in terms of understanding what that means for the future of where we need to go in terms of education and how we are skilling our kids. And you talk about your daughters and the robotics that they're doing. That all becomes very, very important. Mm. So we've seen quite a lot more of that. But then at the same time, we know here in South Africa, you speak about manufacturing and assembly and architecture and engineering type roles. Those are going to remain as important as they always have been, as well as the finance roles that's the foundation of what we need to sort of develop our economy and make sure that we continue sort of building on the capabilities that we've got.
Yeah. Are we bridging that gap? And it exists all over the world, but I have a sense that it's a particularly wide gap in South Africa between what businesses need from a practical skills on the ground perspective and what we're churning out in terms of skills through TVET colleges and universities and our various education and academia institutions. Is that gap starting to close? Because it's an important gap that has to be bridged. I get the sense that there are far too many, and with no disrespect, I've got a BA journalism, but we're producing far too many BAs when we need more technical and vocational skills in some areas in the South African economy. What is the sense that you get?
I'll speak to the census as opposed to the data that we've got right now, but I 100% agree with you. I think that we are not developing enough of the right skills right now. And fundamentally, part of our problem is that we're not actually providing the basic education to get people into these roles right now. And if you look at sort of what was quite highly published during the course of last year, and I can't remember exactly what month that was in, but the report that suggested that something like 87% of our grade four learners can't read for meaning.
Yeah,
that has to have a direct impact on the mathematical ability and the science understanding of those individuals. And that just means that we are missing this massive cohort of young minds that could potentially be going into more of these robotics and AI fields that we've been talking about. So I think we've got to address that and at the same time, make sure that there is that vocational training to bring people into trades, bring people into what it is that's going to support the manufacturing and assembly lines that we've got and sort of just the general construction of everything that we actually need as a society here in South Africa, which it, at this stage, those are the fundamentals of the sort of the opportunities of the growth blocks that we've actually got, as opposed to trying to get ahead of ourselves and dive deep into the AI fields at this stage. We just don't have the skills. So I think we need to, and we continually must be having a look at what our universities and TVET colleges and the likes thereof are churning out in terms of skills, and mapping that to what we forecast as the future skills that are going to be required by our economy.
Then just lastly, if you were to have some practical advice for both employers looking to attract top talent as well as job seekers to try and navigate this current job market, are there specific strategies or trends that they should be aware of?
Michael, I think from looking at employers first and foremost, I think there's, I spoke briefly to sort of hiring for the right minds and the future minds. Companies need to be so aware of the employer brand that they project into the market. It's essential that they create an environment that really makes job seekers want to apply to their company. Yeah. And I feel that not enough has been done by companies. Look at the quality of the job ad that's placed across our various platforms. And literally, someone has taken a job spec, which is so much detail that outlines line for line what is required for a person to be able to fit into a particular role. That's not the way to do it. Yet, at the end of the day, what a company needs to put out there is an advert for their company that says, come join us. This is what we can do for you. This is what we're going to do for your career. This is what we're going to do in terms of making sure that you've got the right purposeful value system in your job. And we're going to give you a form of flexibility, whatever that means, whether it is a hybrid type work environment or the opportunity to actually take more control of how I do my job. Because I think COVID taught us that companies that allow that kind of extra responsibility on an employee get a whole lot more out of their teams, because people feel that sense of accountability. Yeah. And companies are not doing enough of that. So they need to really focus on that job ad quality to attract the right people to their jobs. And then from a job seeker perspective, I think the important thing about them is understanding the job market, looking at our data, and then using platforms like ours. Specifically, you spoke of the PNET report. So there's PNET. We do also own the brand Career Junction here in South Africa. Getting out there and utilizing services like that and registering for what we call job alerts to be notified when the right opportunities are being advertised. And they've got to a point now where there's a huge amount of accuracy. And if I go in and I'm looking for a particular type of job and I say that this is what I want to be alerted about, that type of job, those are the ones that are coming through to me. And at least then I can understand as soon as that's been advertised. Yeah. And then equally for the job seeker, it's all about advertising themselves, marketing themselves, I suppose is a better term, making sure that they're putting really front and center what their skills are and how those skills are going to help the company achieve what their objectives are. So it's matching their skills to what their company is looking for.
Thank you, Paul. Great insights into the South African job market and the latest PNET job market trends report. It's clear that, yes, there are challenges, as we know, in the South African economy, but there are also pockets of opportunity and, encouragingly, some areas of growth to watch closely. Whether you're an employer looking to attract the best talent or if you're a job seeker trying to plot your next career move, as Paul said, keep up with the latest trends. I think it's more important than ever. Stay tuned to Classic Business for more updates on local and global markets right here on Fine Music Radio.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.